Hello and welcome to the fourth podcast of the North Fulton Drama Club. It has been a somewhat restful summer for us. We've had about, how many months off have we had?
About
two and a half.
Two and a half. And so this is Thomas and
Nikki
and Alyssa.
We are ramping up rehearsals now for our next show. We're doing Twelfth Night in fall. Our previous show was Love's Labor's Lost. I believe it was quite a success. I think our two weekends of performance were very well received. Even though we had uncharacteristically cold weather that first weekend, and the threat of immense rain on the second weekend.
Along with hurricane force winds and whatever else was going on that day. With the blowing away of the backstage tent, that was exciting.
And the blowing over of the set at one point, which was very exciting.
Equally exciting. Helpfully that part, not during a show. But mostly I think it was a pretty rousing success. We made a little bit of money to put toward the show, which is exciting and helpful. And probably, I would say, 75% of our cast, which is almost everyone who is available to do so, re-auditioned for us this time, which is good. It means we didn't screw up too bad the first time around with at least our people.
And we will be using the same space that we had before. Our relationship with Barrington Hall persists. They seem to have gotten a pretty decent amount of publicity out of our production the first time around, and they've invited us back, which is fantastic. So, big thank you to Robert and Hillary and Dee and everyone else at Barrington Hall. Auditions this time around turned out much better than they turned out for our first show. It could have been just that we were not very well known, or actually not known at all the first time around, but our turnout for these auditions was, I don't know, did we have more people?
I don't know that we had more people. I think we had a better balance between male and female, which made casting 150% simpler.
And I think we had, as opposed to the first time, I don't think we had a single person show up this time that we couldn't have cast in some way or another. Before, we had a few interesting characters show up that we probably would not have been able to cast in any way, shape, or form. But this time we had a really nice selection, and it helped that we had people returning that we knew what they could do, we knew we could trust them, and that they would fit a role in our show.
What do we use to broadcast this audition? LiveJournal?
We use LiveJournal. There's a community on LiveJournal specifically for a theater in Atlanta, so we posted to that, and we all used our personal blogs
and
to
Atlanta Performs.
It. Atlanta Performs, which is the main site for professional and non-professional auditions around Atlanta. Pretty much if you want to get work in theater, you go to Atlanta Performs.
Yeah, I think our first audition, we got more traffic out of LiveJournal. I think this time around, we got more traffic out of Atlanta Performs.
The two big drivers both times. And last time, LiveJournal was less, because I think we realized the existence of the community a little bit late, but both times the huge driving force behind the people showing up at our auditions has been LiveJournal, and you can tell people are syndicating it. It's coming out of their friends list. We can see the various hits that are coming out of LiveJournal, and Atlanta Performs easily account for 85% to 90%, and then the rest of it is our personal blogs
and the ATML.
The ATML is harder to track. So anything that looks like it's coming out of email, I just decide to call the ATML when I'm looking at the stats. But that's a lot harder to quantify.
And we look at the stats quite a bit.
Yeah, I look at the stats obsessively every day during auditions because I want to know how many people are looking at the site and whether or not anyone's going to show up, because I'm incredibly paranoid that we'll be sitting there and no one will come.
I think also the way that we approach Shakespeare, because we are doing Shakespeare again, I think the way we approach it opens it up for perhaps more flexible casting. We are very willing to bend the gender of a character if it's at all conceivable. It allows us to have something that's pretty rare for Shakespeare, which is a balanced cast between male and female. I think we have
an exactly balanced cast.
Exactly balanced cast this time around. So 16 people this time?
16. Or is it 17?
It's like 14. Because 14? With the three of us, the mailing list has 17. So it's like 14 people.
So what are we doing for Twelfth Night? We don't want to let the bag out of the cat. Wait. We don't want to let the cat out of the bag too much. Or the bag out of the cat. That would be very gross. Yeah.
We are doing what we had come up with, sort of an idea, is we're thinking every decade has its exotic locale. In the 50s, in the U.S., it was Hawaii. In the 20s, it was Cuba. And something we had, there's a lot of references in this particular play to India. So we're like, ooh, Victorian England. The big exotic locale, since there were still colonial stuff going on, was India. So our shipwrecked, woeful people are going to be from England, and they are going to wreck themselves in Illyria, which will be India. And it provides an exquisite opportunity for beautiful costumes, gorgeous settings, and a kind of a nightmare of trying to figure out, since none of us has the luxury of being Indian, and we don't want to insult anyone, and we want to do this right.
Exactly.
We're having to learn a lot about the culture and the folklore and the clothing and
the mind-bogglingly extreme number of options we have.
You know, and we did this with Love's Labors. We were able to approach our 1963 concept, and we did a smashing job. Everyone that I spoke to after the show said that it looked spot on perfect. So we can either take that as encouragement that this should present no problem at all, or we can take it as a challenge that...
Yeah, we managed to set ourselves a high bar. After that was all over with, I said a few times that if we would have actually had... If we had thought it all the way through, we probably would have concluded, if we were people on the outside, that we were crazy. Because no normal sane people take on what we took on and actually pull it off. I mean, I'm not saying that other people can't, because I'm sure that people can. But after it was all over with... It was a huge undertaking that I think possibly only crazy people would do. So now that we've pulled it off once, pulling it off again is... I intimidate myself. We intimidate me in the second round.
So our auditions were 2 weeks ago?
Yes.
Yes, 2 weeks ago. We had our first read-through was this past week. So over the next month, what we'll be doing is we parse out the script as much as we can to do about 3 scenes a night. Kind of staggered Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, some Saturdays, where that we can have the greatest number of people without inconveniencing a lot of our cast to handle as many scenes as possible between now and the end of the next month. I think by the end of the next month, we will have seen every scene in the play at least once, possibly twice. This allows us to get the blocking down at a macro level and do the first starting of a lot of character work. This does leave a lot of responsibility for character up to our individual actors, but that's part of our process in choosing the actors. We choose people that we can trust.
And I think after the first, we've had one rehearsal where we've actually done scene work, and I think we chose really wisely because people are already making solid choices about their character, about movement, body posture, and they're amazing. They're these fantastic choices. And I think the one thing that we've always said is we never want to have to encourage someone to do more. It's so much easier to rein people in. And I think we're already doing that. And I think we've got great chemistry. And we were really lucky that between the people that we brought back for this show who were in Love's Labors and the new people, I think everyone is coming together really seamlessly. And they've got a great chemistry going already, which is so important. When you cannot have a play, even though, you know, it's people acting, having authentic relationships in real life carries over into the play. So if people are supposed to be friends and they're friends in real life, it's that much more genuine.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think, and we've said before that with the last show, the way that they came together and the way the cast cemented itself as a group made a huge difference in the way that the show turned out. I'm just kind of waiting at this point. It's kind of funny because the first few rehearsals, just the scene work or whatever, it's always so hard to remember and to think about everything that actually doesn't happen until you get to the stage of running the play through. So it's all sort of moderately terrifying until you get to the first run through, and then you're like, oh, it makes sense. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that already, that first run through where it all starts to become a piece.
And until that point, we'll have the second guessing of, did we rehearse more last time than we do this time? I don't think we're rehearsing enough. And perhaps you never rehearse enough. So that's our production concept. That's what we'll be doing over the next month. One thing I wanted to talk about really quickly before we get out of here is you hear talk a lot of times about work-life balance. Work-life balance is balancing your day-to-day job with your life at home, and how do you do that? We have put upon ourselves the added burden of work-life show. And I'd be interested to see what you two think about that and how do we handle that? Because we survived last time, and I'm sure we'll survive this time, but what do we have to do different during showtime that keeps us sane?
Or yeah, do we stay sane? I wonder.
I don't think we're sane. I don't think any sane people would choose to do what we've done.
As I said previously, I don't think we start off sane, but I think that the one thing that I do have to do is to recognize that as much as I can for some period of time go and go and go and not sleep and not sleep and not do anything but work, whether it's at work or it's on the show or, you know, anything like that, it's like I've got to realize that I do occasionally have to sleep. And that's one of the things we talked about was that last time, one of the very stressful things, and this sounds so stupid, was that my house would just get out of control messy, and then I had like no time to do anything about it, and it drove me completely bananas. So for this run of rehearsals, I'm considering having a cleaning service come in once every couple of weeks to make my life be back in order so that I don't have to feel stressed out about vacuuming up all of the cat tumbleweeds that accumulate in a house with two cats. These small things, and it's regulating, I think, the small stressors and the things that you don't realize how much that sort of stuff can accumulate, and regulating that and only allowing the things that matter to really get in your face. Because when you have both an actual day job and a third job that you've stuck upon yourself as being the show, you can't just take everything necessarily the way that you unconsciously do when you're not doing the show. It just brings all those small stressors into focus. So for me, it's abandoning all of the small stuff and just really, really letting it go, more than like very consciously letting it go, as opposed to not.
For me, I know one of my really bad habits is I'm terrible about writing things down in advance and keeping a calendar. And that, especially in when you're going to work, you know, 40 hours a week, and then you're at the theater 30 hours a week or 20 hours a week, it's so easy to let things slip through the cracks. And then I'm like, oh crap, I have a baby shower in, you know, 5 minutes, and I don't have a gift and all this stuff. So one of the things that I'm trying to do this time to make my life easier is really sticking to a calendar, writing everything down, and making sure that I don't let things that are very, very important and might not seem that important, but making sure that they get done. And another thing is trying to remember not to overschedule myself in other ways. Like, okay, well, I may have, you know, 30 friends who want me to come out at night and hang out and do things, and that's fine every once in a while, but I have to know that I need time for myself. Last time, in very, very poor planning on my part, I started dating someone right in the middle of the show during rehearsals, especially starting in tech week, when I had to be at the theater every single night. That was not fair to me. It was not fair to him. Sadly, things didn't work out. I wonder why. It's like, because I had no time. So no dating for Alyssa until the show is over.
I make a point of just avoiding people that might have baby showers.
Yeah.
For the run of the show, or wedding showers, or actually any kind of party or anything like that. I mean, I think, and maybe I didn't do it on purpose, but I think I have set myself up to be able to devote more time to the show this time around. I didn't think of it at the time, but I stopped playing World of Warcraft about a month ago, and I think that will help a great deal. Not having an online and completely worthless addiction is going to give me a lot more time to give, not only to the show, but to everybody in general. I think you start, once you realize that these third position things are important enough, your life makes room for them. You can keep your job in one place, you can keep your friends in your life in one place, but if you want to have this vocation for which we don't get paid for it, we just do it for the sake and the joy of doing it, you end up finding time for it because it's worthwhile. I think that's about all the time we have today. Does anyone else want to add anything else?
I'm just really excited about this show. Yeah. I think it's going to be more challenging in different ways than our last show. It presents new, exciting challenges. And I think we've passed that on to our cast as well. We've cast people in roles that are going to challenge them, that are going to stretch them in ways. And I honestly can't wait to see how we rise to these challenges, us as directors and as producers and our actors as actors and people. Because I think we did that to people last time, and it it created a really fascinating show, and I think it's going to be even more so this time. And it's terrifying, but it's really, really exciting. It's really exciting. I think we have an opportunity to create something even more spectacular.
If it works,
yeah,
it's going to be sweet. Awesome.
Well, I think that we are exactly as close to biting off more than you can chew without actually having done it. Out there on the bleeding edge is, I guess, where we belong, but it's definitely a very interesting place to be.
Hopefully we'll have more good reviews. We'll solve all of the challenges that we had last time, and I don't know. I think it's going to be... I'm excited.
Yeah.
And that's about it for our podcast. Next time, we will drag along a cast member or two, maybe some members you haven't heard before. And also, you might want to check us out on our website, www.northfultondramaclub.org. Feel free to drop by. We'll do a better job of updating it this time than we have over the past summer. Thank you very much for listening. This is Thomas.
And Nikki.
And Alyssa.
Thank you and good night.